Have your Bibles turn to the text that was read in your hearing, Hebrews chapter 2, and looking at verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're looking at verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For those of you that have the New American Standard Version of the Bible, it may say, lest we drift away from them. The Bible says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard? In keeping with our theme for this quarter, making the grade, elevating my walk and talk, and I just believe that before we elevate our walk and talk, often we must reestablish our walk and talk. And there's a thought that we find in this particular text. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the Hebrew writer was talking about drifting. We ought to hold on tight to what we've heard, lest at any time we drift away from it. As the Hebrew writer writes in this text, he's actually using nautical terms. And he's envisioning a ship that is out on the sea. And it's very important for that ship, the master or the captain of that ship, to pay very close attention to the course that it is on. Because if careful attention is not paid to the course that the ship is on, over time, it will get off course. And he's saying here that it's very important for us to be mindful of who we are, lest at any time we should drift away or let those things slip. So my title of the lesson this morning is, are you drifting? Are you drifting? As I studied and prepared for the lesson this morning, it challenged me. And it's my hope and prayer that it will challenge you. No matter who you are, and no matter where you are, you can drift. Ministers can drift. Elders can drift. Deacons, teachers can drift. Individuals that have been members of the Lord's church all their lives can drift. Are you drifting? There was a story about two young men that were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they finally realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force and over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. And then the boat was caught by the swirling waters. The boat went over the top of the dam, took them through the swirling rocks and waters, and they never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body, and then 2 or 3 days later, they found the other. Because unbeknownst to them, they were drifting. The danger of drifting is not limited to the physical realm. Here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Hebrew writer is warning against drifting spiritually. And I'm here to tell you, it's not uncommon for Christians to drift toward destruction. Someone might ask the question, well, what is drifting? Drifting defined is, there are many ways that we can define it, but the main idea about drifting is that drifting is the gradual moving away from those things designed to spiritually secure my soul. And there are some things that we ought to know about drifting. First of all, drifting requires no effort. If I'm on a boat, all I got to do to drift is just stop oaring. Just sit on the boat. If I stop oaring or if I stop tackling the sail against the wind, the boat will begin to drift. And I'm going to tell you, the same is true for the Christian. We must, the Bible says again in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. When I think about drifting, it's rare that a member of the body of Christ makes a sudden and permanent decision to leave the Lord. People don't just say, well, it's Sunday. You know, I just decided I'm not going to go to church anymore. It's not a sudden and it's not a permanent, sudden and permanent decision. But what can happen is over time, we can drift. Satan can cause us to drift. When we think about this idea of drifting, it's possible to drift unaware. In a boat, the undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. In a plane, the wind or the gravitational forces move the plane without one realizing it, which is the reason the pilots have to pay very close attention to the controls and the instruments to make sure they're not drifting off course. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Many individual Christians have slowly drifted away. And then on a collective basis, there are many contrary winds that are out there that are causing churches to drift away as well. The question is, are you drifting? Well, there's just a few things I want you to look at when it comes to drifting. The first point is that we never drift upstream or against the tide. I want y'all to help me up there. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5 through verse number 9. We never drift upstream. We must constantly be doing something to help us to remain in the position and to remain on the course that God has given us to live. Peter illustrates this in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 5, he said, and besides this, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith. I love the fact that he says, add to your faith. Peter is assuming that faith is already there. Amen. Faith is a foundation. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We got to build on the faith, but we don't stop right there. He says, add to your faith. He said, virtue. And the virtue of knowledge. Keep going. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. He said, for if these things be in you, and he goes on to say, and they abound, I got to continue to improve in those things. These things have got to be areas in my life that continue to increase, that continue to grow in order for me to keep from drifting. If they abound in us, they make that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. But he said, he that lacketh these things is what? He's blind. And look at what it said. He cannot see afar off. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going because you are drifting. You can't see afar off and have forgotten that you were purged from his old sin. See, that's a part of this thing that the Hebrew writer was trying to help us to understand. I've got to remember that God has done something for me. I've got to remember that a price has been paid for my soul. I've got to remember that there is sacrifice that's been made on my behalf. I've got to remember that God in his wondrous plan made a plan and put a plan in place, and I've got to keep that plan at the forefront of my life. In other words, if I don't keep that at the forefront of my life can be pulled in many different directions, causing me to drift. When I think about this idea of drifting, when I start drifting, the speed downstream increases. Oh, when I start going in a direction that I should not go, and I start going in a direction that goes against what God would have me to do, it takes me in a direction, and it can take me in a direction so fast that I don't even realize what's happening in my life. And the thing about drifting is that not only it takes me in a direction against God's goal and purpose for me, but it takes me in a direction very quickly and it ends in shipwreck. Those who drift through their own neglect, the Bible says, again here in the text, he said, there's not going to be any escape. How shall we escape this word that has been confirmed? How shall we escape so great if we neglect so great a salvation? There is no escape. We got to realize and understand the urgency of not drifting. Well, someone might ask, well, Brother Worthy, what are some ways that we can know that we're possibly drifting? I'm glad you asked. See, one sign of a diminishing desire, a diminishing desire to study God's word and pray. See, without God's revelation, without God's word, how can we truly know our origin and our purpose and our destiny? God's word tells us of sin's deadly consequences and how God saves us from sin. When you think about this, again, the text in Hebrews says, but the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What is it that he wants us to hold on to? We've got to hold on to the things that we have heard. What have we heard? When I think about the gospel message, if you go all the way back to the very beginning, God made us in his own image, and he made us pure, and he made us holy, and he made us to live and be in accordance to his will. And shortly after God made man, Bible says Adam sinned, bringing death to all mankind. And as death had come into this world, and death was for all mankind, spiritual death, it put man in a very hopeless state. There was no hope. We were all without hope in this world based on sin. But while we were in this state, God himself put together a plan by which he could bring us into a place where we would be justified in his sight. And to perfect this plan, God sent his son to come down and take on flesh, take on the problems and take on the sin and take on the pain and take on the anguish. And as he died on the cross and as he came up from the grave, he got up victorious over death. He got up victorious over sin. And in the midst of that, as he completed the plan and died and arose, the Bible says that before he left, he said, it's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send the Spirit. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a helper who's going to help you through. Oh, don't we serve a good God? And then in the midst of that, he provided this for us and gave us a help. And as we are members of the body of Christ, as we have responded to the truth, and as we were baptized into Christ, and we have salvation from and forgiveness from all of our past sins, this has placed me in an eternal kingdom. These are the things that I need to remember. I got to remember them. I can't drift away from them. I can't belittle them. I can't marginalize them. I have to recognize that this is something that's very important. I've got to make God's word a centerpiece. And if I began drifting away from God's word, it's a sign that I'm drifting. I need to spend time studying. Not only do we need to study, sometimes a diminishing desire to pray is a sign that we're drifting. When Jesus came to this earth, he often prayed. When he was with his disciples, he prayed. Before he had to go to the cross, he prayed. And he has encouraged all of us to pray. He expressed to his disciples, don't grow weary, but I want you to pray. And I'm here to tell you that when the Christian prays less and less, I'm here to tell you he's drifting more and more. We got to pray. Well, what are some other signs of drifting? There's a diminishing desire to be with God's people. I love being here in worship. I love being around God's people. Now, I know everybody in the church is not always right. I'm not always right. But in spite of that, in spite of the fact there may be some within the fellowship that sometimes don't come across the right way and maybe don't have and exhibit the right kind of attitude, I always want to have a desire to be in the presence of God's people. And when I develop a desire to not be in the presence of God's people, I need to look at myself closely, because I very well could be drifting. And I hear people say, well, you know, those folk at the church and so-and-so is like this, and brother so-and-so always doing that, and sister so-and-so does this. But then they go to work on Monday. I don't want to be around those folk. I don't want to be, but you go to work on Monday. We got some hypocrites in the church, but you go to work with some hypocrites. We have to have an increased desire to be around God's church and God's people. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's all right to be glad about going other places, but don't diminish your happiness and joy about going into the house of the Lord. We ought to be concerned about one another. We ought to be willing to edify and build up one another. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. We ought to be willing to have companionship and friendship with the people of God, as opposed to friendship and fellowship with the world. Then there's another one. Common signs of drifting. A diminishing desire to share the gospel. When one obeys the gospel, he knows that God has blotted out his sins and made him a new creature in Christ, and he wants to tell the world about Jesus. You know, when something excites us, we want to tell somebody about it, don't we? When you hear about a good sale, you tell somebody about it. When you hear about a great restaurant, has good greens, and pork chops, black-eyed peas, and hot water cornbread. Not that I eat all those things. You want to tell somebody about it. And the same is true. When you have a great appreciation for the word of God, you want to tell somebody about it. I must confess, as I said to the first service, this is an area that I know that I could do much more in. And I know in the past, I've not done as much as I should have in sharing and sitting down and studying with individuals about the word of God. But right now, I'm involved in two concurrent Bible studies with two different couples, and we meet on two different days, and I tell you what, it has invigorated me. It has invigorated me as I see the excitement that they have for coming to understand God's plan and coming to understand what the scriptures actually say and coming to have a working knowledge of how God has made a plan for us from the very beginning and foundation of the world. And as I see that and as I talk to them and as I get feedback from them, it helps to really encourage me to dig deeper, and I have an even greater appreciation, and I'm not going to drift from what I know. Not only that, not only a diminishing desire to share the gospel, but sometimes we can be drifting when we have an increasing thrill over things of this world. We live in a world that has a lot of allurement. There's a lot of things for us to see, a lot of things for us to do, a lot of things for us to be involved in. And I'm a firm believer that as we live our lives, it's okay for us to enjoy life. But at the same time, don't allow the desires and cares of this world to supplant the love and the dedication that I should have for my God. Bible talks about in John, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not what? Neither what? If any man love the world, the love of the what? See, if my love is in the world, if my love is centered around the world. Bible says also in another place, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. If I'm going to follow my love, I'm going to make time for my love. I'm going to place a priority on the things that I love. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Go to the next verse. For all that is in the world, lust of the what? Oh, so many things can look so good. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we have to be so very careful, church. Paul says over in the book of Ephesians, he said, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. When the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil, that word wiles, if you'd ever go back and study it, it means a cleverly devised plan. God knows, the devil knows what you like. The devil knows how he can grab you and grab your attention. The devil knows how he can cause you to get off current. The devil knows how he can pull you away. That's why it's so very important for us to stay in the word, for us to stay in the church, for us to stay devoted, for us to stay prayed up, for us to keep on studying, because otherwise we can be called to drift. Well, what are some of the remedies against drifting? What are some of the remedies against drifting? Well, first of all, like in that, I gave the metaphor of being on a boat. You got to keep rowing. We can't sit still. We got to keep rowing. I want you to get 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all don't mind all these scriptures, do you? And go down to verse number 5. We talked about this again, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. But I want you to go down to verse number 10. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren? He said, give diligence. You know that word diligence means? It means I got to be working. I don't just sit still. I've got to work. He said, brethren, give diligence. Work at it. Plan for it. Put effort into it. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. He said, for if you do these things, he said, you're not ever going to fall. And I think I can use, without deterring from the context of the scripture and the meaning of the scripture, if you do these things, you're not going to drift. We got to keep rowing. We got to keep working. Then I gotta watch out. Again, I'm talking about remedies against drifting. I gotta watch out for the undercurrents. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 through verse number 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through verse number 18. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the flesh. I walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh. I'm here to tell you that there's a battle for your body and for your life going on right now. The flesh is fighting on one side, and the spirit is fighting on the other side. And the flesh is trying to neutralize my belief and trying to neutralize the way that I live and trying to neutralize my way of looking at the scripture. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't realize that you're in a battle, you've lost the battle. Watch out for the undercurrent. He said, these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And I'm here to tell you that when you get in a position to where the flesh overcomes the spirit, the flesh overcomes the desires of my spiritual man, the flesh overcomes the reasoning of my spiritual man, the flesh overcomes the way that I look at life, the flesh overcomes the way that I look at this world, then I come to a position to where I'm vulnerable spiritually, and I'm in a position where I can be called on and influenced to drift. I can drift. Then when I think about this, what is another remedy against drifting? You got to be willing to go against the tide. See, there's a lot of tides out there that are designed to sweep us away. Young people, you're at school, and you know you ought to be living this way. But then the tides of popularity and peer pressure and the praise of others come in. Don't let it overcome you. Don't let it make you drift in that direction. You keep going the way that God would have you to go. I'm a witness. As a teenager, I had to swim against the tide. It was uncomfortable sometimes. But when I went back to my high school reunion, and I saw some of the things that I saw and heard of some of the news that I heard of those that were very, very popular, very, very praiseworthy of others, I was able to see, oh, what a blessing it is to follow God's command all the days of your life. We got to expect to go against the tide. Modernism, skepticism, humanism. We live in a day and time where there are a lot of folks that believe that we don't need a higher authority. We don't need a Bible. We don't need scripture. We don't need a bunch of commands that we need to follow. We don't need something that gives us the direction that we need from another source. There are a lot of folks who in humanistic thought, they believe that within you is everything that's needed to live this life. You just drifting on your way over the rocks. We'll bring this thing even in a little bit closer. Denominationalism and false doctrine of all kind. We got to be willing to go against the tide. Bring it in and leave it a little bit closer. Liberalism and worldliness in the church. Probably one of the greatest enemies of the church in our lifetime. We got to be willing to go against the tide. I know some folk look at Greenville Avenue. Well, Greenville Avenue is such a conservative church, and everybody's so stiff, and which I don't believe we are, but that's what some folks say. But you need to understand, there's going to come a time when we are criticized for our doctrine. There's going to come a time we're criticized for preaching one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's going to come a time when we're criticized for the way in which we conduct our worship and the fact that we sing and we make melody in our own hearts. And there's going to come a time when we receive all sorts of scrutiny and complaints about that. It might even come from within the church, but we got to continue down the road that God has called us to go on and not allow ourselves to drift. There are too many churches today that are drifting. And you see, it don't take much. See, if my course is like this, but here's the course, but I start going just a little bit off course, just a little bit, just a little bit. I start compromising on some things. Baptism, not essential. Once saved, always saved. Ecumenical fellowship. Oh, you were baptized in such and such a denomination? Okay, come on over, join us. Amen. Then over time, way off course. We got to recognize that we got to expect to go against the tide. And even if we have to experience criticism, even if we have to experience even criticism among members here, we've got to stay the course. As I get ready to bring this lesson to a close, when I think about this, we've got to have some strong anchorage. First of all, we've got to be rooted and grounded in the truth. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6 and 7. I want you to get up there, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and verse number 15. We've got to have our minds anchored to the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14 and verse number 15. The Bible said that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro. See, I'm here to tell you, if you're not on course, if you've not done anything to secure your course, if you're drifting, the first wind that comes up, it's going to blow you away. Don't be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And look at what he says here. He said, by the sleight of men. You know, you call magicians trick people by sleight of hand. They could take a handkerchief and you tell them I'm not a magician. My wife is laughing at me on that. Who by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay and wait to deceive. And I know this is true. Satan is under attack on even members in this body where they have been approached by something they have seen and something they have heard, and it's very cunning and it's craftily worded to where it causes a person to drift away from those things that they know to be true. That's why we got to stay in the Word. That's why we got to stay, as the old folks used to say, we got to stay prayed up, because we live in a day and time where there's a lot of craftiness that exists in this world when it relates to religion. Then not only do we have to be rooted and grounded in Christ, and our minds must be anchored in the truth, we need to profess an unshakable hope. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 18 and 19. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 and 19. I'm almost through. Hebrews chapter 6. The Bible said that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge. Let me tell you something. As we are here in the church, among other things, is a place of refuge. That's why I'm not ever leaving the church. I'm not ever drifting outside the doors of the church, because this is a place of refuge. Why do we come for refuge? The Bible said to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. We need to have within our mindset that we are in a place of hope. Go to verse number 19. Which hope we have as a what? Oh, as an anchor. Have you ever been on a cruise ship? If you've ever been on a cruise ship, and when that cruise ship comes and docks, you would think that that big old giant cruise ship could just dock right there and everything would be okay. But the first thing that cruise ship does, it drops the anchor. Because that big, huge cruise ship, if it doesn't drop anchor, it can drift. Our hope is our anchor. What is the hope? Hope is an anticipation. I know, I expect that when I die one day, when our eyes are closed in death, I have an expectation that I'm going to be in the presence of God. I have an expectation. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more hurt. There's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more pain. I have the expectation that all of the trials that I might go through in this lifetime, they're all going to be gone. And because I have that hope, I have dropped anchor. Ain't going nowhere. Not leaving. And when you drop anchor, it's going to keep you from drifting. See, as I bring this lesson to a close, if I'm going to keep from drifting, I'm going to stay with the Word. I think about the psalmist. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate both day and night. Bible said he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. It's not going to drift. You ain't never seen a drifting tree. That tree is going to stand there. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. Not only am I going to stay with the Word of God, I'm going to stay with Jesus himself. I remember the Bible said, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, though Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is not going to move. Same Lord, same Savior. Amen. I'm going to stay with him. Amen. I'm going to stay with him all the way. And if I stay with him, I'm not going to drift. Not only am I going to stay with the Word, not only am I going to stay with Jesus, but I'm also going to stay with the church. When I think about it, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28, the Bible said, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I'm going to stay with the word. I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to stay with the church. I'm not going anywhere. I love that song that we used to sing. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. That ought to be the theme of every Christian. I shall not be moved. When I go through trials and tribulations on a daily basis, instead of giving up and drifting away, you ought to say, I shall not be moved. If I ever have problems with folk and I love them, but they don't love me back, that's all right. I shall not be moved. If there are times when I look around and I see other folk that don't even seem to care about life and don't even seem to care about the fact that there is a God and they seem to be doing all right, but here I am in the struggle and you want to give up sometime, you need to say to yourself, I shall not be moved. Don't drift. Stay with the word. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the church. There might be someone here who is not a member of the Lord's church. You might have all of life together. Maybe you're reaching all of your goals. You've accomplished some things. There's some you have been able to do and go some places. That's wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, if you've not done the most important thing, you're just drifting. Because you need to realize that we all have a destination. This world is not my final destination. My dad's favorite song was, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We need to have a mindset that says, I'm not going to drift. And I'm calling you on you this morning. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, don't drift any further. Come to God and obey the gospel. Hear the word of God. I've given it to you as simply as I can. Believe the same. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down to the watery grave of baptism. Arise to walk in the newness of life. And now you have a goal. You have a purpose. You don't have to drift aimlessly through this life. And if there's someone here that is a member of the Lord's church and you know that you have drifted away from God, don't let it continue. Because you see, right now, and I'm done, but I just have to say this. See, right now, Satan is working on you. He's saying, you know, I know you're saying, I know there's some things that are wrong and some things that are missed, and I need to get those things right. But Satan is saying, you're all right. Yeah, it's going to be all right. And so today you don't do anything about it, and you drift a little bit further away. And then the next Sunday, you realize, you know, I need to do something about that, but Satan said, it's okay. And you drift a little bit further. It happens over and over and over. That's how you. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't drift another day. If there's something wrong or if there's something amiss in your life, don't allow it to overcome you. Don't allow it. See, the Bible talks about, Paul makes a statement that a person can come to a point where they have gone past feeling. Don't feel anything anymore. And it is a product of drifting. I'm encouraging all of us. As I encourage myself, let's not allow ourselves to drift. Let's stay steadfast. And if there's something wrong or amiss in our lives, let's make it right, beginning right this very moment. If there's someone that has a need, won't you come? As we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
967. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in him confiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved.